Welcome to Holy Cow. This is Don. This episode of Holy Cow is about another fucking police shooting, the shifting of the parties in our politics as a sports system, what might be coming, and the line in the sand. If you have been listening to this podcast and like what you hear, please follow us on Twitter at @holy_cow_pod and share with your friends. You can listen to Holy Cow on Anchor, Breaker, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Spotify. Holy fuck, people. I've been working on this pod for a bit, and I'm new at it. I don't have staff writers, so it takes me some time to get an episode ready. Then, as I have to prepare for a hurricane, there's another shooting with shitty video of a black man by white cops, so I'm pissed off a bit. First, it isn't a goddamn race issue. That is an excuse and a piss poor one. It's a citizen who has the presumption of innocence that has just been shot, and from what I understand at this time, is still alive. I hope he stays that way. But here it is. The police in this country need to wrap their fucking heads around this one simple notion that as soon as they try to effect an arrest, as far as I'm concerned, they are responsible for the safety and welfare of that citizen about to be taken into custody or already in custody. Period. I don't give a shit if they have a mile-long rap sheet. The principle of presumption of innocence remains. If you are a cop listening to this and you don't like it, fuck you. Find a new career. If you are a cop and put on a uniform and say, I'm not like that, fuck you, you're wearing the uniform. I was in the Navy for 6 years. I wore a uniform, so I sure as shit can tell you, once you put it on, you do not get to claim your individuality anymore. You are a representative of everyone that wears that fucking uniform. And if you don't want to be a target for those who have fucked it up wearing it, then take the goddamn uniform off. I want a peaceful society. I want prosperity for all Americans. What I don't fucking want is for the Marxists that have taken over the Black Lives Matter movement to have an excuse to bring violence against communities. They're going to bring their violence no matter what. But if right-thinking people are going to be able to stand up against it and call it out for what it is, then we can't allow the Marxists to be able to hide what they are doing behind violence against American citizens. It's election season right now. The conventions are happening, and politics in America is like sports. Two sides pitted against each other. The primaries are like the playoffs. And then comes the big game in November. Then just like televised sports, there's a panel of personalities on TV trying to build the excitement. If you consume a shitload of TV news, it's like the longest pregame show ever. Except for politics junkies, I think lots of people actually get burnt out. Then comes Election Day. People throw watch parties and have chips and dip. And this is where American politics is most like having a sports team. Psychologically, you feel enthused and happy when your chosen side wins. But then you're down and you're angry when your side loses. Shit. You might go and have a riot now that it's over, like Eagles fans. Now, before I lose the attention of my libertarian listeners, I'll mention right here that I know there are other parties, and we'll get to them a little later. Because what I'm trying to understand is, how did America and its politics ever get so divided? I mean, the question I have is, where the fuck is the political middle? So because I'm visual and I try to be analytical, I picture charts and graphs like from a political science class. I will try to describe it for you. Generally, one would think that across the country, in a properly randomized fashion, you would have a normal distribution of political ideas. You know, a curve that's highest in the middle and goes down at the extreme ends. In my mind, a graph of U.S. politics doesn't look like a normally distributed bell curve. It's reminiscent of Mae West. Right? For all you math whizzes, that's a bimodal distribution. Okay, the graph has two peaks and a valley in the middle. Of course, this is a simplified view of politics. This is assuming the political spectrum only has one axis and it's left and right. I've been trying to understand what is really going on. Is there an underrepresented political middle in America? Some describe a silent majority. Is that a real thing? Are there really a bunch of Americans that are undecided on all these political issues? Standard political science models talk about how candidates have to appeal to their more extreme members to get a nomination, but then the candidates have to move more to the center to appeal to more voters during the general election. A theory I've heard is that the extreme ends of the spectrum are pulling the parties further from the center. That's all kind of standard model political science stuff right there. But if you watched any of the Democrats' National Convention recently, you might have noticed that they have doubled down on some extreme policy positions. One would think they would be trying to move more to the middle and pick up middle-of-the-road voters. Maybe my ears don't work so good no more. But I'm pretty sure I heard them espouse some radical leftist shit. They are promoting Bernie Sanders' socialist economic policies. They are promoting AOC's economy-crushing Green New Deal bullshit. They are promoting the failed candidate Beto O'Rourke's gun confiscation. They're using the current pandemic to push a single-payer socialized medical system. Then there's the promotion of their militant wing. That's the openly Marxist movement called BLM, Black Lives Matter. For my listeners who are not aware, Marxist is essentially communist or socialist with the emphasis on violent overthrow or revolution. And what BLM movement currently covers up is the militia of these Marxists. All right, I can go on that, and I have, but that's enough. What I think is happening from the perspective who's actually in charge at the DNC is that they are banking on enough people voting based on a personality contest model. That is, they believe more people dislike Trump and his abrasive personality than they dislike the grandpa portrait they are trying to portray of Biden. So that if they happen to win this election, the Democrats can claim a mandate. They'll have old Joe come out and say, "We told you all the stuff we were about, and you voted for us anyway. Therefore, you must have wanted the most socially and fiscally oppressive administration in U.S. history. Bend over and take it. If you complain, we'll call you a racist and cancel you." That's my analysis of the left. Now, here's the deal with me. I voted for Gary Johnson in 2016. Most folks look at me cockeyed and ask, "Who?" How they don't know or didn't remember that there were four candidates on the ballot, on my ballot anyway, just baffles the shit out of me. So, I'm a libertarian. I'm voting for Joe Jorgensen in November. That's my political disclaimer out of the way. However, I'm realistic enough to know that it will come down to one or the other of the two major parties. I still think Trump was sort of a fuck you to Washington. He came in as a political outsider. Remember, drained the swamp. I guess that begs the question, has the American political right swung more to the right? The left has swung way crazy freaking left. Right? The political pundits from the left certainly think so. The TV personalities. They seem to constantly invoke the term radical in reference to their political opposition. You know what? I really wanted to be fair when I started this pod. I had this idea that I could point out the Democrats and how they have certainly gone stupid Marxist. Then I was going to do a parallel with the Republicans and how they are moving to the right. But now, I'm banging my head here to actually come up with the contrast of the right and how they have shifted. Oh, I disagree with a lot of the official Republican policies and some specific Trump policies. Most of these have been Republican platform stuff for years, so not really a huge shift. But let me list them out so I'm not accused of being a Trump supporter in disguise. First off, Trump was supposed to be the pro-Second Amendment choice in 2016. Sure, compared to Hillary, I guess he was, maybe. The fucker had 2 years of a majority in Congress to support gun rights, and we got a bump stock ban. Not quite the pro-Second Amendment push I was hoping for. I often see this being tossed about the interwebs. I've even seen people argue that Obama's administration was more pro-gun. Doesn't matter much now, because old Joe and Kamala, what are we calling her? I forget. They bitched about the pronunciation. Anyway, have threatened to kick your doors down to take your guns. Not them personally, but you get the idea. You know, picture Kristallnacht. If you don't know what Kristallnacht is, use your best Google Foo and search the words Kristallnacht Germany. You'll find out. The second issue, and frankly, I'm still amazed how this is actually so high up the priority list of most Americans, is abortion. Trump came out hard for the pro-life vote in 2016. He is still banking on it. Now, I haven't seen any legislation. It's not likely that we'll see Roe versus Wade overturned. Basically, Trump pandered for these votes as much as he did for the gun vote. And I don't see it changing much. My stance on it is that I find the prohibition of the sale of goods or services to be poor policy. But for some reason, this is one of those divide the country issues. Now, I do want to point out one glaring thing that was said during the Republican convention speeches while discussing health care. And please remember, I am an ICU nurse. The speaker wanted to accuse the Democrats of wanting to give people death with dignity. Because death with dignity is a bad thing? If you prefer pain and suffering, I suppose you would say that. I have held the hand of patients in my care that are making the next journey, whatever you believe that to be. And it is their right to make that journey however they see fit. And it sure as shit isn't for anyone else to decide. Anyway, Trump and the current Republican Party are still way too big government for my taste. Some regulations may have been rolled back, and I'm sure that has helped some features of the economy. The small government side of me wants the dismantling of unnecessary federal agencies. Let's start with the ATF and the DEA. The hardcore libertarians would probably start with the IRS, but baby steps are baby steps, right? I'm not sure that I've answered any of my original questions. Is there a political middle? Sure, I've been slipping in my libertarian ideas, but I think Gary Johnson got 3.27% of the popular vote in 2016. I didn't bother to look at the Green Party's numbers. Use your Google if you want. Now, does that low number mean that the political spectrum in America is really fractured with just a few people stuck in the middle? I don't think so. What I'm thinking is going on here is that Americans' political thinking is still normally distributed. It's that we have fallen into sort of a trap, most of it brought about by our winner-take-all elections. And this leaves most Americans voting to pick a winner. They want to be on the winning team, too. They want to celebrate when their pick wins. But they're not necessarily picking a representative. And this gets us to where the political power in the country is effectively held by a majority of 51%. I picture it like a pie chart of political power. Nearly half red and half blue. Every few years, the red team and the blue team have a tug of war for that last couple percent that gives them the power. Sure, we have checks and balances in some places, sometimes. Then there are times when you get a majority in all the branches. And fuck, that's when shit gets scary, right? Those politician fucks can do what they want. You know, on the smaller levels, they get so entrenched that some cities have been run by the same political party for decades. Then they blame the other political party for shit going wrong in their city, Chicago. This fucking system leaves people unrepresented. Earlier, I mentioned two political issues, gun control and abortion. I'm not going to reconcile my stance on these issues just now. The point is, it's as if the two major political parties divided up all the big issues and split them up in such a way that no one is happy. Some people think that electing Trump was the big stir-up American politics needed. I'm not sure about that, but I think the one thing that the Democrats and the Republicans can agree on is that in no way can they allow a third party to actually gain a winning percentage of the nation. As the system stands now, both parties are happy fighting over that last little bit to be in charge. It swings this way, it swings that way, but they keep building up power. And our government, especially the federal government, doesn't ever seem to get any smaller. Our nation does not seem to have more freedoms. When I was a kid, I recall watching a movie or TV show, whatever, and some character would ask this question. Hey, can you do that? And the reply was, it's a free country, isn't it? I haven't heard that conversation in pop culture in years, in a movie or a TV show. And I'm sure that it's because we are moving away from freedom. The simple way to put it is that there are too many laws, too many restrictions, too many petty tyrant politicians that just get off telling people how to live and what to do. Lately, it's stay home and put on a mask. And fuck, are some of them supported by my countrymen? When the fuck did America become overrun with busybodies? Internet memes of Karen pointing out whatever thing you are doing that isn't fucking hurting anyone. But she wants you to stop it, and she'll call in the power of the state to do so. Stomp in the jackboots. This kind of shit has to stop. Unfortunately, I see one of two things happening. The country wakes up and realizes what a clusterfuck it has gotten itself into. And through some miracle manages to vote its way towards more freedom. I don't care so much about the party name that gets us to more freedom, just that we get there with sound principles. But realistically, I just get the feeling we're going to have to do this shit the hard way. And even worse, there's no guarantee of the outcome. I keep getting this feeling, especially, you know, as I watch the political left become more extreme in their positions and are openly supporting Marxism. I've talked about Marx before. One of the key tenets of that ideology is the justification of the use of violence. The feeling I'm getting is that lines are being drawn and we'll be in a civil war. Some have suggested, and I can agree, that we're in a cold civil war right now. All right, I agree with this because the country is battling over this ideology. Worse still, you know it's serious because there is a major push to silence any opposition to these views. The radicals have hijacked a minority group to use as cover. They can shout their ideology until they're blue in the face. But if you were to counter with even the simple, "I do not agree with you," which was the whole fucking point of the First Amendment, you will be threatened either with your livelihood, as they have done with cancel culture, or you will be threatened with violence. Then, as we have seen, it is not always a threat. These radicals have perpetrated this violence and canceled people as an example so that their threats carry so much weight. Here's the deal as I see it. Everyone will have to draw their own line in the sand. Truthfully, I'm not sure where my line in the sand is just yet. I tell myself I'll know it when I see it. But I'm getting prepared, and I hope all freedom-loving Americans are getting prepared. Shit, I just read 5 million first-time gun buyers bought their first firearm in the last 6-7 months. Those Americans are getting prepared. Because there may just come a time, and it may come soon, where your line has been crossed. And you will have to pick a side and fight. Look, not everyone will fight. The number that gets used is 3%. Because that's how many people fought in the revolution. You know, the 3%ers. But you may still have to pick a side. My hope is that it does not happen. But I'm trying to get mentally prepared for when it does. I remind myself that when Jefferson said, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants," that if I'm a patriot, then it may as well be my blood too. Hopefully, more of the tyrant's blood than mine, but you get the point. And if this sounds too doom and gloom, too reactionary, maybe too extreme for your tastes, that's when I think of the Barry Goldwater quote. "I would remind you that extremism in defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue." So with that one, keep your powder dry and think about your line in the sand. This is Holy Cow. I'm Don. And if you like what you hear, be sure to follow Holy Cow on your favorite podcast platform. We are now on Anchor, Breaker, Apple Podcast, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Spotify. And be sure to share with your friends on your favorite social media and follow us on Twitter at Holy_Cow_Pod.